thoroughly enjoyed this conference. And, you know, I kind of like everybody else, I would love to stay here and just keep on. And one of these days, we're going to get to do that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
One of these days, we won't have to go home.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We're going to stay here.
Amen.
Or stay in the Father's house.
Yes.
During this conference, we have seen the glory of God. We've seen the joy of knowing Him personally. That was a wonderful song that speaks of our salvation.
Yes.
We find that there's tough times and good times that come in life. And we wonder sometimes, well, is it all worth it? But we know that God lives within us.
Yes.
And because He does, we can show the love of God and the love of our neighbor in our life and our actions. And then both of the brethren yesterday spoke on do what you can. I mean, that's basically what they were saying. Do what you can. We're on this earth, and we're to serve God. And we're to do what we can. And, you know, whenever you think about that, I have tried to preach a different message all the time, but the Lord keeps saying, you're going to preach this one. So I'm gonna preach this one. But I was thinking, do what you can. Whenever I was born an AG. But on my birth certificate, it says Jimmy Nelson. I was adopted at birth. And then I was raised on a farm, and I had a wonderful childhood. I played with the dog and the pigs and the cows and all that stuff. I chased them, they chased me. And one night, Daddy and Mama says, we're going to go to revival. And we went to the tabernacle. Now, some of you don't even know what a tabernacle is. It's a building with a roof on it and no sides. And in the summertime, there's a lot of bugs, so they had yellow lights. And there was a yellow light right up above the preacher, and all of us kids kind of tried to guess how many bugs he would eat that night. Well, I was on kind of toward the back where the teenagers shouldn't be, and I was playing with a doodle bug. Well, the night before, a friend of mine was saved, and I walked up and I said, what'd you do that for? He said, 'cause I was a sinner. And so are you. I'm not no sinner. I'm a good kid. The next night, I was sitting back there on the pew, and God got a hold to my heart.
Amen.
And I realized that I was a sinner.
Amen.
That I needed the grace of God. And God saved me that night. And I went in the military. We came home. We were living in, and I enjoyed going bass fishing on Sunday morning. I got to sleep a little on Saturday, and then I would go bass fishing on Sunday. And that bus that come through from Calvary Baptist Church, them little kids was leaned up against that window, and I could just see them, and they're saying, you old dirty sinner, why ain't you going to church instead of going bass fishing? Well, our kids started riding, and they started coming home telling me all these wonderful things. And I thought, what are they brainwashing my kids with down there? So I'm going to go see. And I did. And God changed me. He called me. We were missionaries in Mexico 11 years. We were international missionaries from 1996 until 2008. You know, I would not change a thing in my life now that I look back. I just gave my testimony. A lot of people say, well, what am I to say to people? Just do what you can. Do what you can. And we are to live and serve the Lord day by day. And we have something wonderful to look forward to. It's all going to be worth it when we go to the Father's house. It's all going to be worth the persecution, the troubles, the trials, the all of the things that we go through in this life to live a Christian life. One of these days, we're going to be in the Father's house. And I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. That sums it up right there in the passage of Scripture that we, the last one that we sang. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. When we were missionaries in Old Mexico, my dad and mom were still alive. It was 17 hours from Ciudad Obregón to Dad's house. About the time we would get to Abilene and Sweetwater, the kids would start thinking about the kitchen table or the dining room table. Because the dining room table is where all the goodies were. All the crackers, all the cookies, all the candy, all of that stuff that Mama had went and bought to spoil them rotten with. So we always enjoyed coming home. Matter of fact, the kids still think of all of that whenever we're going to have Thanksgiving down there this year. And all the kids will be talking about the dining room table and what it was whenever they were kids. One of these days, we look at this passage of Scripture and we understand that we are going to go home. If you believe in God, believe also in me. So they had a solid foundation. We're talking about the disciples. He had just told them that he was going to go home. And so they're kind of sad. And he says, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places. So they had a solid foundation for their faith. After all, they had seen the Lord do all the miracles. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him fulfill every promise that he had ever made them. It had come to pass. And so when the Lord said these words to them, they have a solid foundation on which they can put their faith and their trust and their confidence. And so verses 1 through 4 are words of comfort and assurance. First off, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry about me going away because I'm going to come back. I'm going to come for you once again. So, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Acts 1:11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. So, the Lord told them, the angels told them, the Scripture tells us, that even though life is getting hard, I mean, I was watching the news this morning and Israel is in a great, they're in war. And that's the only way you can put it. They're in war. They didn't ask for it. It just happened. I remember whenever they were in Egyptian bondage and God delivered them. So this is nothing new to them. It's nothing new to the brethren in India or many other countries around the world to have persecution, people being put to death. But they have that blessed hope that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take us from this world and take us to the Father's house. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We comfort each other. We encourage each other. We are strengthened whenever I'm going to go home and my church is going to say, where'd he go? I went and I got to spend time away from all the distractions and with the Word of God and God's people. I mean, every Bible conference I go to, I don't want to go home. I want to keep it going. And one of these days, we're not going to have to go anywhere. We're going to get to stay. But we're not going to be doing the preaching. We're going to be doing the worshiping and the praising God. And what a wonderful, wonderful day that's going to be. Now, someone might say, well, all his disciples died and the Lord didn't fulfill his promise to them. Well, so that just means that we as his disciples are still looking for him to fulfill that promise. And the scripture says that he's going to. I believe that the dead saints are in heaven, and that removes all of the fear of unknown for us. I mean, whenever you think about it, Lazarus was ushered from death into the presence of the Lord. Others were translated. They didn't see death. They went into the presence of the Lord. Stephen, they were stoning him to death. And he saw the Lord. There was no fear because he saw the Lord. He knew where he was fixing to go. His assurance was on the Lord Jesus Christ. And ours can be also because we have the blessed scripture. The Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's even true in death. So why should we have no fear as we walk through the valley of death? I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, which tried to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of my Savior. He bid me still fight on. I promise never to leave thee, never to leave thee alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. While we fight this battle of life, God is with us. He walks with us. So, the Lord said, no man knoweth the hour except the Father in heaven when I shall return. This is very significant, and I think that we have to, it's amazing how there's patterns in the Bible. And I see a pattern that applies to this in Jewish weddings. Well, how did they figure out that they would do their weddings this way? Well, I think the Lord led them to do so. So, here in America, whenever we hear about a mansion, we think about Bill Gates or some of those guys. We think about a big, sprawling mansion and all of that. But that's not what the word really means. You know, that's kind of prideful to me. I have a mansion on a hilltop. My mansion's better than your mansion. My mansion's bigger than your mansion. No, that's not what the word means. The Greek word is mone. Mone means a dwelling place, an abode, a room, if you will. Well, where are these dwelling places? They're in the Father's house. When we look at a Jewish wedding, we have some patterns here. So in the Old Testament times, weddings were arranged by the parents. Genesis 25, where Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac. The doctrine of election reveals that the Father chose a bride for his son before the foundation of the world. And the mora, the purchase price, was also set. When God wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, the mora was set because God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Amen. The mora was set. In the earthly setting, the families meet together and they discuss the mora, the purchase price, if you will, and they settle on it, and then the bride stays with her parents and she goes back to her house and begins to prepare for her wedding. We'll talk about her in a little bit. But, you know, Jewish weddings were not like our weddings here today. Whenever our young people get in marriage, they say, okay, we're engaged and we're going to get married on September the 27th, 1967. By the way, that's our anniversary. We're going to get married on that day. And all of our friends gather together and we have a wedding. And everything goes on. Well, that wasn't the way it was in the Jewish culture. The son didn't set the wedding. The bride didn't set the wedding day. The bridegroom's father had that responsibility. And so they would go back to the house. Now, in the Jewish communities, from what I researched, they start with like one room. And as the children grow, they try to add to the house. But whenever the bridegroom got back to his father's house, he wasn't going to move to Boise, Idaho. He was going to stay at the father's house. And so he began to build the Monet, the bridal chamber, if you will, for his bride. And so he's working on it, and he's working on it, and he works on it, and he'd go to his daddy's, now, no, you hadn't got it finished. I mean, there's some trim work that needs to be done. The floors need grouting and, you know, using our terms, I don't know what, they built out of cement and brick and what have you. But the father would keep telling him, no, not yet, no, not yet. This went on for up to a year. And so while he was doing that, the bride is at her home with her parents waiting for the groom to come for her. Well, the first thing that she was to do was to keep herself pure. Because when they were betrothed, it was as if they were already married. We see this in Mary and Joseph. When Mary was found of child of the Holy Ghost, Joseph considered divorcing her. They hadn't gotten married yet. They were betrothed. But it was like they were already married. And the Holy Spirit told him not to, and so he proceeded with the betrothal. However, a betrothed couple, Mary and Joseph, were essentially husband and wife. So this shows us that the wife is to keep herself pure. Whenever you look in the Word of God, whenever you look in the New Testament, it doesn't matter what chapter, what book you look in, the Bible tells us that we are to live a pure, holy life for the Lord. We are to walk in holiness. Well, I sin every day. So do I. That doesn't mean that we don't live the very best that we can and we don't do the things. Do what you can. Do what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Live a life that honors the Lord, that glorifies the Lord. 2 Peter 3:14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The bride was also to watch and wait. She knew it would be around a year, maybe. I mean, dad might change his mind and let him get married in 6 months. She didn't know. She was waiting for her bridegroom to come. It was at the groom's father's discretion. The bride also stayed up very late every night. The latest hour that he could come was midnight. Matthew 25:6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. So he could come up to midnight. Okay, so is that midnight San Antonio time or midnight Jerusalem time? You see, I think it what it says is you and I are to be ready at any moment for the coming of the Lord. She stayed up. She was ready. The groom, when his father said that he could go get his bride, he would gather all of his friends together. I mean, he'd gather them all together. They didn't have cell phones, so he had to go to everybody's house. And the group would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, they had everybody together, and they would head for the bride's house. Whenever they started, I'm sure it was loud and a party-like atmosphere. But the closer they got to the bride's house, the quieter they got. And whenever they got there, there was two ways that they could call the bride out. The first one was a shout. The whole group would I don't know what they would say, "Come out, Martha," or "Come out, Mary," or "Come out, Maggie," or whatever. And she would come out. Or if he had a friend that had a trumpet, they would blow the trumpet and shout. And, "Oh, it's wedding day. It's the time." And the bride came out, and the wedding party returned to the father's house for the wedding and the wedding feast. But before the ceremony, which was attended by a select few of people, most likely the family, the bride took part in a ceremonial ritual cleaning, which usually took 7 days. After that was complete, the ceremony took place. They were married, and then they went to the wedding feast that was held in their honor. It was customary for the wedding feast to hold a much larger crowd than the ceremony itself. It was a celebration that was provided by the groom's father. So the wedding feast normally lasted for 7 days. Now, the scripture speaks of the church as the bride of Christ. In Revelation 21:9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which hath the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." In our text, the Lord said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I will go and prepare a place for you, and as I have told you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." In Matthew 24:36, the Lord says, "But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And then we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen. Jesus Christ is coming for us.
Yes, amen.
That is our blessed hope. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We don't know if Hamas attacking Israel is the beginning or the end or the middle or what. I do believe that it's going to get worse and worse and worse until the people of God are crying out to God as the Israelites in Egypt did. "Lord, take us out of here. Get us out of this bondage. Get us out of this slavery to sin. Get us out of this evil world." And the Lord will come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And his children shall go to live with the Lord forever. The Lord paid the price, the purchase price for our sins. Amen. He bought us. What someone was talking about that yesterday, and I was thinking about a little movie that I was watching. This little kid built a boat, and he took the boat to the river, and he sailed it, and he lost it. It went down the river, and he couldn't get it. One day, he's walking by a storefront, and his boat's sitting in the window. And he goes in, and he says, "I want to buy that boat." He says, so the guy says, "Okay, I'll sell it to you for a quarter." So he gives the guy a quarter and takes the boat. And he says, "I made you, and I bought you. You are mine. The Lord made us, and the Lord bought us. We are His." Amen. He paid the more for our sins. He paid our salvation, the price of our salvation. He owns us. But the wonderful thing about it, God made us adopted sons and daughters.
Yes.
We are adopted sons and daughters of the Almighty. We are ambassadors for Christ. But we're also the adopted children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. One of these days, the Lord is going to come and get us, and we're going to spend time with the Lord, and we're going to rule and reign with Him on this old earth. But then there's coming a day when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we shall spend all eternity with our Lord and Savior, worshiping Him and praising Him and glorifying Him and seeing the beauty of His holiness, seeing His glory. Do all that you can. Tell people about Jesus. Whenever I gave you the short testimony, the point of me doing that was I told you in a couple of minutes what God has done for me. You have a testimony, and you can tell others what God has done for you, that they might realize that they are sinners and lost and without Jesus Christ, and they need a Savior. Do what you can, and the Lord will bless us whenever He returns for us some glad morning.